had empires that stretched all over the known world. When the Greeks learned about the great empire of Kush in Africa, people that would be called Negro and black and inferior by the white supremacists of this age, of this world. You know what the Greeks said? They are black gods. This is quoted in history. They are black gods. Why did the Greeks call them gods? Because the Greeks, though they were very intelligent people, they couldn't rise above a fascination or an obsession with their own image, with their own image. And not only the Greeks, we're talking about most of the known world. Wasn't Pharaoh obsessed with his own image? He put his own image everywhere. The ancient Egyptians put their own images. They put their images everywhere in huge, magnified, much exaggerated beyond truth and reality or beyond real life. Big, huge, massive figures towering up over the people. So the Greeks, too, they had an obsession, preoccupation with their own image. Because they saw so much, Allah created the man so wonderful. They saw so much beauty, so much value. They appreciated themselves so much because they also knew of barbaric life. Barbaric life. Ignorant, uncultured life. They knew of that. So when they came into sciences and knowledge, culture, they appreciated the human being that they saw themselves. Saw in themselves so much, they wanted to give it high credits, way above the low, despicable, barbaric savages and etc. So they became preoccupied and fascinated with their own image. And they called themselves gods. Everything that they saw that mystified them and fascinated and charmed their intellect in creation, they named it a god. It was a god or a goddess. Huh? Yes, everything, not just human beings, animals too. Gods were put in the animals' figures. And powers and laws of creation were all given animal, given god form, or god identity as a god. Just the features of nature themselves, the Greeks, and others too, gave these features the name God. They were gods, all gods. They call it the family of gods. The Greek family of gods. Gods numbering into the hundreds, I believe into the thousands. I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure that the gods of the Greeks number into the thousands. So many gods, everything a god. Everything they wondered over, everything that attracted their intellect and made them wonder about it, or was fascinated, or couldn't explain it to completely. A god, this is a god, that's a god, everything's a god. Whatever's doing wrong, it's a god too. Yeah, thing that's doing evil, it's a god too. All gods, it's a god. So we hear in the language the God of good and evil, huh? God of good and evil. God and goddesses. Major gods and minor gods. Yeah, we hear all this is the language. Now, dear people, let me watch my time here. The ancient world, the whole ancient world of empires were guilty of that, not just the Greeks. As I said, Egypt did it. Egypt did it. The European nations did it, not just Greece. The European nations did it. Rome and Greece are the best known for this. For this fascination with their own image. Apollo, naked, obscene man. In his appearance. You know, if we didn't know what they were talking about, and we saw him out there on the public, Now, what's this obscenity? Cupid. Cupid. Relieving himself. You know? If we didn't know what it was all about in Greek mythology, so what's this obscene thing here? We call the police. Say, can you have this neighbor arrested for having this damn thing out here in front of my house? Say, oh, but that's Cupid. Well, tell me about it before I shoot him. And I hope you see where we're going. As I said, I'm not wasting words. To kind of sum this up now, to go to the next step, that's business. To kind of sum this up, what have I said? I have said by implying, I have said that religion is where the foundation of racism is. Religion is where real racism is preserved. Racism is not, as I said earlier, preserved in racial groups, or protected in racial groups. Racism is protected in imagery. Imagery. And the imagery of religion. Thou shalt not make any engraven images. That's the Bible talking to the Western world. Huh? And we know in our religion, we are to stay away from the mirror. Yes? You want to know how you look? Ask your wife. And I'm sure she'll appreciate you paying her that respect. In our religion, we are not to have photos of ourselves all over the place. Satan has influenced the world that goes astray or that are heedless. Satan has influenced the world, powers, and the people under them to be vain, to love vanity, to follow it until they just come all out of human form and become distorted figures, mutant creatures. The ugliest woman I've ever seen was, by the definition of beauty in this world, one of the most prettiest women I've ever seen. But when I saw her emotions, when I saw her preoccupation with her own beauty, she became so ugly to me. She looked like a demon to me. Yes. What was in her just disfigured the outside and made that beautiful doll look like a demon. I said to myself, thank you, Allah, for not allowing me to get something worse than what I've had. I thought I had it bad. I thought I was bad off. God, whoa, Lord, thank you for saving me from this. You talking about hell? You get one of those, man, you'll really learn what hell is. They'll kiss you and singe your mustache. And I mean real singeing, not no thrill. You come away with blisters all on your lips. Hug you and stick dull, hot knives all through you. Say, oh, go, fetch it, go, no. What I mean, when you come to know them, everything they do as a gesture of love or affection pains so much. It hurts so much. They just give you a kind word. It just hurts so much. Oh, you look better today. You're looking real nice today. So and so and so. Coming from them, oh, it hurts so bad. Because you know you have to translate that. Well, so we want to shift the mood to business, to business. But we have to sum up what I've said. And I've told you that I have said, number one, that if we want to find where racism has its origin, I mean real popular, ugly, oppressive racism, where it has its origin, we have to go to imagery in religion, falsehood in religion. Allah tells us that in the Quran, if we understand it. Regarding Pharaoh and his ugly, cruel oppression over the people, what does Allah say in reference to him and his cruelties? Shirk. 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 Giving the wrong picture of Allah, the wrong idea of Allah. Shirk is the worst kind of oppression. Huh? لَذُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ لَذُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. It is the worst, the most oppressive kind of slavery, is to be enslaved by falsehood concerning what Allah is. And I bear witness to that. When we look at Pharaoh as an oppressor who said he is God and had a family of priests working under him and a hierarchy that kept the higher idea of the creature up in the Pharaoh and up in those closest to him. And as you got down from the Pharaoh, the more you descended from the Pharaoh, the lower and the more despicable the creatures became. This is the order of Pharaoh. Don't you find the likeness of that in the racist international world of racism? Don't you find the likeness of that? People who are at the top claiming they're at the top. The purest. We're the purest. The purest. And those who have a little less purity will be close to them. And get down to the bottom, and there is the one who has nothing but impurity. He is blacked out with impurity. That's the Negro, the colored man, the black man, the African. Huh? Don't you see this? The same, the likeness of the same? And don't we find among them personalities who claim themselves to be the God? The God. And then we, many of us, were exposed to be double-crossed. I don't mean double-crossing as a common definition. I mean double burden. Crucified Christ. Crucified Christ. That's what I mean. But thanks to Allah, the merciful one, the dearest, the merciful, we're saved from it. We're saved from it. We reject white arrogance over other people. And we reject black arrogance over other people. We obey our religion, the Quran, and our religion. We obey the last prophet, the messenger to the world. We obey him. There is no superiority of a white over a black, and no superiority of a black over a white. I'm quoting the prophet word for word. No superiority of an Arab nationalist over a non-Arab nationalist, and no superiority of a non-nationalist over an Arab. The only superiority is obedience to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Now, I want to ask you, Is this religion resolving the conflict? Quickly sum it up. Allah says let me get it. I got it right here. Just give me a moment. I made notes so I would keep it like I wanted it. Just clear and complete here. If you just give me a chance to find it. I want to find this note. Yes, here it is. Allah says of our common identity, وَسَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَا سُورَكُمْ, that He gave you your design, your feature, the human design, the human feature, فَأَحْسَنَا سُورَكُمْ, and made most excellent that design. Again, Allah says in our holy book, وَرَزَقَكُمْ وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, and He provided for you from all the good things. All the good things. Who did He provide all these good things for? By reasoning from this revelation. Who did He provide all of these good things for? The person in the common identity. Not for the racist. Not for the liars. Not for the shirk makers. For the makers of godly images for themselves, or God images for themselves. Not for them. He didn't make these things, these good things for him. Look, Allah says, and my servants shall inherit. My servants shall inherit it. So you should know this, Muslims. This has been said to people before you, and they have gone up to the top of the world and reached all over the globe and enjoyed freedom and power. What are you going to do? Rise up too, knowing that Allah says that He made this for you. The resources in the earth, the resources on top of the earth, going out of it, the resources in the environment above the earth. All, He says, that He is Sakhara, made it subject, made it to yield utility for you. Huh? That's what Allah said. This is no small religion for no peanut head or pea-headed person. And then He speaks of the design that He gave you, human design, and associates His gift of graces, goodness, and all the things that we like with that person in that design, to tell us that He made it for that person. Now, if you want to be foolish and let the deformed creatures get all of it and deny it from you, that's your problem, baby. I'm a Muslim. I say it's for me. And if they don't measure up better to me, to the surah that Allah made, then I say I have a better claim, a more legitimate claim on these bounties, these material graces, and also all other kind of graces than they have. And I'm going to start moving more aggressively to get my share. See, dear people, when a soldier is in uniform, he should be serious. Once I can put on the uniform that Allah says He made for me, and realize that I am fit for the profession, and I'm wearing the uniform and I'm fit for the profession, look out. So I'm not playing. What is the way to achieve this? How did I achieve this much progress? In realizing this, I achieved it by obeying Allah. I achieved it by fearing Allah. I achieved it by putting the better nature over the temptation to fall down in my nature. I achieved it by being decent and rejecting indecency. So if I am to advance this now and really gain and become a real contender for those that's got it, I have to hold on to what has brought me this far. And let me tell you, if I can get enough of you holding on to it with me, the sinners are in trouble. The sinners are in trouble. And I'm not afraid to say it. If I can get enough of you all with me, the sinners are in trouble. Overnight, alcohol problem will be done away with because I will outlaw alcohol. Hold up. I want to obey Allah. That's how come I'm here where I am now, because I want to obey Allah. Overnight, the dope problem, the drug problem will be over because I would outlaw drugs. A lazy man with muscles and ability to work, not going out every day to try to find something to do, even if it's washing windows or ask somebody, you want to wash my, can I wash your car? I don't care if he has no skills at all. If he doesn't go out every day to try to find himself to do when he's got a wife or a baby or babies at home, I will put him in jail or beat his butt on the public street. The problem is we are spoiled. We are spoiled. Spoiled by people that let Satan breathe his plan into them. No, jails and the penitentiaries won't be filled with us. No. No, no. Stop that traffic right away. Let us continue now. And believe me, it ain't necessary to get emotional. As I said, Allah's goodness is powerful enough by itself. Doesn't need an emotional building. Continuing now, what it says. It says, وَسَوَّرَكُمْ وَسَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ سُورَكُمْ وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. He gave us this design, these features, this human design, and made it most excellent our design. Now understand that from this pattern design, other designs are made. Other designs are made. But those designs, if Allah will accept them, they must obey and continue to be genuine patterns after the original. Huh? Yes. He gave you this design, and then he speaks of you, your design in the plural. See? He says, Sawarakum. See? Sawarakum fa asana surakum. Surakum. It's one. It ain't plural. The design is one. Surah singular. Surakum. And made excellent that one pattern for many of you. For many of you, doesn't that ring a wonderful bell? For some of you, I believe it does. Yes. Now, وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. And to him is the destination. To him is the destination. Again, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوَّرَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. He is the one who gave you your forms, descriptions, in the wombs. That's where it's given. You don't come out of the womb, diabetes, and tell us who you are. It was told in the womb. So the Christian doctors that they teach you, they say, oh, you got to go back here. Huh? Say, oh, you ain't fit, you got to go back in and be born again. Yes, he is the one who gives you design in the womb, according to his will, according to the will of God. And again, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ. He is the one who created you, then gave you your desire. Then gave you your desire. So Look, I have plenty of material here. The time won't allow me. I'm going to write, if Allah bless me with the life and the health, I'm going to write some wonderful books that Allah has given me out of His mercy. And I'm making a lot of progress with them. I'm working on them. I'm making a lot of progress with them. So I don't have time to go bring all the materials for this one address today. You know, I read on writers, because, you know, you need help. So I read on writers, and one part of this book said, most good writers, they scrap about 60 to 70% of what they write. So that means you got 10 pages, 6 or 7 minutes in it. Well, that's what I've been doing. But thanks to Allah, every now and then now, I throw something in the trash. Every once in a while, I throw something in the trash. But for a long time, right in the trash basket. Because it doesn't serve the purpose, it doesn't measure up, it lacks in too many ways, we throw it away. That's what you all got to learn. You get your mind, all those thoughts in your mind, what reality is and everything, and you check it out what Allah said, you got to thought. That's what you got to do. You got to ball up that stuff that you were so fascinated by. It's hard for a writer to spend hours on something. And then look at it and see it that it didn't measure up according to what Allah revealed. He starts falling up, throwing it in the trash. One day I carried a whole shopping bag of that stuff down. No, I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. Whole shopping bag of balled up paper. Just put them in there for the trash. Garbage man come pick it up. I know what some of you all saying with your profiteering selves. Chief, I wish you'd give me some of this. Now into the trash, because that's where we are going if we don't shape up. Into the trash. So look how creation is brought in, to tie creation in. He says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ. And definitely, definitely, لَقَدْ is a strong word, but and definitely, He created you, Allah. Created us, us. You is speaking, but Allah is speaking in the first person plural. We. And definitely we created you. You plural, you many. Thumma, thereafter we gave you the design, your design. Sawwarnakum, we designed you or gave you your design. Now, when you study biology, and you see in biology the human picture. Is that necessarily the human being? Think about it. When you study biology, and in that biology book, that book on the structure of living creatures, or the anatomy of living creatures, when you see that anatomy or that figure, he might look as pretty as Apollo. Does it necessarily mean that that's a human being? No, it does not. Because that picture may be with a chapter on man before he became civilized. Huh? It may be a picture connected with the information or discussion on man before he became civilized. When he was no more than an ape in his behavior, or a monkey in his behavior, or a dog in his behavior. When he was running around beating his wife upside the head with a stick or something, a tree limb, dragging her behind him worshiping the dog. You see, a lot of us don't know this. Men have worshiped the dog as a deity. It's in mythology, isn't it? Yes. Now, if you can't understand mythology, let us go to just ordinary, primitive society life. The chief, he's tough, he's bad. He's so proud of his macho, whatever it is. So he wants to wear something that enhances his image. So to enhance his image, he'll wear
a bear's head over his head. A roof mask that tells you they thought more of those creatures than they did of themselves. If you didn't buy my first explanation.
Praise be to Allah.
Why did they admire those creatures over themselves? Because they had been unfortunate to not come into enlightenment. And Allah says, of the soul, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He created the soul, the human soul, the person, the seat, the real core of the person, the soul. And I wish we had time to talk to you on really how the soul is the depository and also the reservoir for all the excellence that comes out of man, the soul.
Yes, sir.
This is discussed in a book by my thoughts are rushing. I can't give it to you right now. Inshallah, I'll write on this and give it to you a later time. I may recall it before I finish. Anyway, one of our Muslim brothers writes on this idea. He does an excellent job. And says so many wonderful things that I wish I could give you right now. So Allah says that the soul has as its inherent natural properties the potential for enlightenment and God consciousness, they translated. I prefer to just use the word regardfulness. Regardfulness. He had that the soul is created with that property. And its potential for enlightenment. Fujuraha, its enlightenment. Wataqwaha, and its regardfulness. And as we said earlier in the speech, the original and the best regard that God has put in our nature is the fear of Him. The proper fear of Him. And I say Him for want of a better language. Arabic is much more safer for us to use these pronouns. The ideas that we have when we say Him won't come to the mind of a person whose language has always been Arabic. We live in a culture. We've inherited a culture from the Europeans, from the Western man, and also a language from them that has all been influenced by shirk, the wrong idea of God. So it makes it very difficult. I wish we could just understand the gravity or the real seriousness of the oppression that is on us and agree just to go on an excursion with Imam W.D. Muhammad and stay in the desert or somewhere until we are ready to come back and take over. And I don't mean take over with the sword, but with the truth. With the truth. And I believe we could do it. I know we can do it. Well, it's happening anyway, because we're in the desert. Oh, in the hell as we are, I'm telling you, we're in the desert. We don't have to go out to the desert. We are in the desert. And I just wish we could get together more often and stay longer. Yes. So here we see creation is mentioned, and it's time is mentioned in the same word message with sawwarnakum. And we gave you your design. Again, quoting from the Quran, one prophet was challenged by the disbelieving ruler, the boaster, and his intellectual arrogance and his might, arrogance of power, arrogance, material arrogance, and intellectual arrogance. And he told him, explaining to him who God is, he says, "Alladhi ata كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. Powerful statement. Powerful statement. For the students, for the scholars. Powerful statement. الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. He told him, God is the one who gave everything his creation. Even telling that arrogant ruler that too. Gave you your creation too. He didn't have to say it. He said, أعطى كل شيء خلقه. You claiming to be God, but he's the one who gave everything his creation. I mean, you too. He didn't say you too. See, he was a diplomat, a skillful man, a man that could go in the camp of the violent, unpredictable enemies and come out with his shirt still intact. So he didn't address it directly to the powerful, menacing ruler. But he told him anyway, clear as it could be, if he was intelligent. He said, الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. The one who gave everything its creation, and thereafter its guidance. Its guidance! خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. I put its guidance in there. Why? Because by my own reasoning, from the language, it tells me that خلقه means a hint, its guidance. And if you don't believe it, we have to look at it again. خلق فسوى قدر فهدى. Those are steps. خلق فسوى. He created فسوى, then gave proportion. Proportion, symmetry, balance, intelligent design. Sawa, fasawa. Then he says, qaddara, fahada. But the prophet didn't go by four steps. He was with an impatient ruler. He didn't go by four steps. And let the ada kull shayin khalqahu thum mahada. ثم هذا الذي خلق الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هذا خلق فسوى قدر ف هذا. But the fa is not there when he was the ruler is too threatening and too impatient. He didn't have time for all those fa's. الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. ثم هدى. Now, a wise ruler that claimed to be the divine mind, you can put the fa's in. I wish all of us could appreciate this equally. But that's not even how it happens when we're invited to dinner. I've seen some people eat like it was breaking their jaws. No, they can't even appreciate good food. And then some, you know, just smiling. Have some more, brother. Men, brother, have some more. Eat. And some. It's the same with the meal that Allah offers us from Al-Islam. Thank you very much. The time is going fast. So I'm going to round it up and give a summary on the part of the talk about materialism. We'll give a quick summary and we're going to close out. The thing I want to bring to your mind regarding the conflict for us and business is materialism. That's the conflict. Materialism is the conflict. Allah intended for us business and big business and growing business and blossoming businesses and multiplying businesses. He wants us to have... You gonna put some limit on how much money you want? That's just like a Muslim saying, I ain't gonna have no more than three children. Something wrong with that Muslim. But a Catholic should be saying, I'm not gonna have any more than three children. I got three times at the plate, and that's all. Stack out. We ain't looking at no chance at the plate. We're looking at chance at the whole thing. Not just the plate. It may not even be anything in the plate. So we ain't even playing that game. Baseball has its place in sports. And sport and play has no place in our religion. I said to the arrogant and boastful disbeliever, I said, do you think we were at play when we did all this creation? Do you think we were playing or at play when we did all this creation? You're looking at sun, moon, stars, galaxies, and all the wonders of earth and creation. Do you think we were having fun? Praise be to Allah. Yes. Materialism is the evil. Now, to understand materialism as the evil, we have to understand the motive in business. The motive in business. In our religion, matters are judged by intent. Matters are judged by intent, intention. The motive in business, in Western idea of business, is to make profit. They call it the profit motive. Profit motive. Am I correct or not? But a while back, some generations back, the big theorists and policymakers of the Western world met to look at the problem of a stagnant economy. I got this from them, not from somewhere else. This is from America's reports. And they decided, one of them suggested, that the answer for it was not to be disciplined by the law of demand and supply, but to understand that appetites for anything can be cultured. The appetite for anything can be cultured. So they came away from there with the idea that anything, what they got ain't selling because there's no more demand for it, that they use their imagination. Business brought in psychologists and everything. Now, sales is determined more by what is given from the psychologist to the entrepreneur than it is by anything else. That was a turn for the worse in what was already terrible. You remember when we were children? I'm over 50. I don't want tell you how many years over 50. When you get over 50, you don't want to brag. I have fun with my colleagues back here sometimes. You better have some fun too. All work and no play make somebody a dull boy. But play intelligently. Don't forget that. Whatever the Muslim does, he does it with a sense of demand for excellence. That's the Prophet saying. Whatever the believer does, he does it with a sense of on him for the demand for excellence. So if we're having fun, we should have fun in the most excellent way. If we're having pleasure, amusement, do it in the most excellent way. So that our fun enhances the Muslim life of ourselves and others that we are influencing. Don't fall down and have fun like this world have fun. You'd be gone, lost, never come back. Yes. Now, where was I? Psychology in business. Yes. So with this idea, they start to just make everything. They also learn later, after start making all these things that people weren't asking for, but they decided. Well, you know they have now. See the people who are intelligent and also have a respect for decency. It hurts their their moral nature. It makes them suffer a lot to go along with things they know are very, very sinful. So they always think that they can do a little good that God sees and nobody else sees, and they're going to get credit for that in the judgment, and maybe God won't be so hard on them. So they always put a little something out there. So they have the expression disposable income now, right?